Moncrief on News Talk.
We turn to the topic of small talk. People who engage in small talk have the potential to live longer than those who don't. An article recently published in the Irish Examiner explored how small talk helps us feel a sense of belonging. While it's one of the most dreaded aspects of the workplace, experts say communication of this kind is a vital component of how we function as humans, and it can define how we perceive our environment. To tell us about this, clinical hypnotherapist and self-leadership coach based in Galway, Rachel Gatto, joins me on the line now. Rachel, what's the weather like in Galway?
Oh, it's fabulous this afternoon, John. It really is. It's one of those pristine autumn afternoons. Fabulous.
What did you have for breakfast?
I don't eat breakfast. I'm one of these people who fasts until lunchtime. So for me, it begins with a black coffee and then nothing until 1 o'clock.
Wow. And the name Gatto, I have to ask, where does that come from?
Originally, it's my late husband's name. It can either be Canadian, Italian or English. And I've never really got to the bottom of it because there's a few strands of the family. But I was born in West Cork and my original name was Bendon. So I'm sporting odd names, definitely.
Now, in case people think I'm losing my mind there, I did just engage in some random small talk with you, which I think went pretty well.
Yeah, well, we tried to kind of, you know, just have a little bit of a connecting vibe between us. And then it is an opening liner, isn't it, to feeling a little bit more comfortable and then a little bit more sorted to begin another conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I noticed you asked nothing about me, but that's fine. I mean, I suppose I'm hosting today, so it might be weird if you did. But why do we dread small talk, supposedly?
Well, we don't like to be seen as different, funny enough. So standing in a group of people makes most of us, if we're honest, feel a little bit edgy. Now, some of us get more proficient and more comfortable with it than others. But actually, we're wired to be within a group. So we can sort of view going into a group of people that we don't know as being different. And sometimes assuming that everybody else knows each other and I'm the outsider trying to break in. So that's mostly why people feel a little bit anxious stepping into a networking group or a business meeting or indeed a wedding or bar mitzvah. You know, we feel that we're outsiders until we've had that connecting conversation, something to bring us all together and make us cohesive.
So in a way, small talk is kind of the head of the weed because it's what we engage in when we're in that situation where we're feeling somewhat uncomfortable because it's a new environment, be it with one person or a whole load of other people.
Yes, exactly. And small talk is this sort of connecting conversation. It's the beginning of our communication. And a lot of people dread it. And I'm sure there's a collective groan out in the nation. You know, when we all know, we all have those circumstances where we just don't know what to say, how to begin. But if we reframe it and look upon it as a stepping stone potentially to maybe a friendship, a collaboration, or something deeper, and it's a necessary part of communication, then we can kind of reframe it into something that's positive instead of, I don't belong here, I'm an outsider, oh my God, what have I got to do here? I'm losing my head here and I'm losing my breath and I'm feeling really, really nervous and anxious.
And, you know, in the work that you do, I presume you come across people who dread these type of situations. Are there tips, like, is there advice you can give for, you know, small talk negotiations?
Yeah, absolutely. And I see it all the time with my clients. I mean, it is one of our biggest dreads, but I think preparation is always key, no matter what we do. So actually to name it, I mean, if you're feeling anxious, name it and say, look, I'm a bit rusty here. I haven't been out in a while. And then prepare a couple of sort of subjects that you'd feel comfortable using as an opening liner. And the easy ones are, how did you get here? How do you know the host? God, wasn't it an amazing day? We had that opening liner today, you know, and it connects. The thing is you don't need to shine. And one of the most important things to remember is if you are curious, if you challenge yourself to be interested and curious about somebody else, you can really bet your bottom dollar that asking an interested question and really listening to the answer is the first bit of overcoming that anxiety. Because if you listen to what they're saying, then you can send something back, say, oh God, that was me. I remember when that storm came. And so you begin the sort of what we call the volleyball effect, you know, backwards and forwards, and don't hold the ball too long. So just really listen. And your body language is so important. Prepare yourself. Maybe just, you know, have a smile, make eye contact in a very soft way, and turn your body to face the person. You do not need to speak to the whole room. And that's often what people get anxious about, is they feel they're addressing 20 people. You're not. You don't have to do that. Pick one person. And if it doesn't feel that it's going very well, you can always politely excuse yourself. I'm going to top up my tea. I'm going to refresh my drink. Or I need to talk to so-and-so. Stepping stones. But remember to try and be as authentic as you possibly can.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of studies around this. One in 2022 found that in a workplace situations, those who established a connection with their colleagues before a meeting, like engaged in a bit of small talk before they went into it, tend to be seen as more approachable and trustworthy, whether they are or not, than those people who didn't engage in that.
Yeah. Well, it's all about connection, isn't it? Mm. And the thing is that we are all hardwired to connect. It's part of our primordial coding, our DNA, our genetic coding. We feel safer in groups. And if we want to build trust with people, we serve them better by being genuine, being authentic, and spending that time to strike up just the smallest of conversations. Because actually what happens is our nervous system switches from fright flight into rest and digest, more parasympathetic response. When we feel we can trust somebody, when we feel safe, when we feel we're in a safe position, because we're no longer looking for danger, what we're doing is we're changing our focus then into, I'm connected, I can trust that person. Plus, we also become more focused internally. So that means we can be more present and more productive and more focused in a social setting, or indeed, as we're speaking about, in the work setting. Mm. So it's worthy of practice, and it is worthy of getting a little bit of this down. And remember, a lot of the time, a lot of us show up feeling kind of like inadequate, or even the younger versions of ourselves. So understanding ourselves a little bit better and what our triggers are when we go out into groups can actually be really, really helpful in gaining confidence and raising that self-esteem and raising self-awareness.
Yes, indeed. There's a lot of text coming in on this. Tell me, did you say move from fight to flight to rest and digest?
I did.
Okay,
our nervous systems are wired. What I like to tell my clients is that we have caveman nervous system with a futuristic brain. So we still have the same responses to threat and danger and stress, which is the modern danger, as we would have thousands and thousands of years ago. Mm. We have not evolved. So when we perceive a threat, i.e. going into a social setting where there's apparently 20,000 people looking at us, that our nervous system goes, oh my God, this is too overwhelming. I better raise the heart rate. I better get the breath faster. So just in case I need to run away. Mm. So our goal is actually to move from that flight fright into what we call rest and digest, which is parasympathetic. It's more oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, which means we can stay focused. We can stay embodied in ourselves, so that we actually operate more from an embodied perspective than a heady, breathless, I don't know what I'm going to say here. So as I said earlier, to stay in rest and digest, preparation is key. And one of the quickest routes to staying in rest and digest is to use your breath. The longer the out breath, the more settled your nervous system is, the more the signals go back to the brain, I'm safe here. So just a bit of preparation is really, really helpful and keeps you holding on in a more embodied and powerful and direct and focused way.
Yeah. Rest and digest. It's going on my fridge. I've never heard that one before. Now, as I say, a lot of texts coming in. Maybe you can help me with these or give your two cents on them, particularly the last one. But before I get to the last one, and maybe I'll start with the first one, I stopped dyeing my hair in COVID and I do not miss the awkward chats with the hairdresser. When you get highlights, there are only so many things you can cover in 3 hours without sitting in silence. I hear you. Well, I don't get highlights, but I understand, certainly from the barber's chair. Another text says, my fallback when it comes to small talk, or my fallbacks, are traffic and public transport. Everyone has to make the effort to get to a place. And if they tell you about your journey, then you're halfway there. That's interesting. Re-small talk. I've noticed an English person will ask what you do, while an Irish person will ask ask where you're from, and that's pretty much 100%. Isn't that interesting? I think you might be onto something there, texter. And then finally, Rachel, I wanted to talk to you about this one, actually, because the last text in is, does that lady, and that's you, Rachel Gatto, who we're talking to, have any advice for first dates? I hate the small talk, and so many people just seem boring. Now, I was thinking about this in terms of small talk, because I nearly said smallpox. Maybe that's because dating's on my mind, but small talk. In that environment, you know, of a first date, you know, that's a highly charged situation. I mean, what's your advice for small talk in that regard? Because it can go very wrong. Because I can imagine a person going, I'm not going to engage in small talk, and then saying something stupid.
Absolutely. And probably everybody's worst nightmare. First things first. Do eat before you go on that date. Make sure that your
nervous
system...
What if you're going
system,
for dinner, though?
I mean, I still would advise have something in your tummy so that actually your nervous system is nourished, because we've got to nourish the body and before we nourish the mind. Mm. And my advice to somebody going into circumstance like that, where there is a lot riding on it, and there's obviously, you know, your self-worth and so many things, is I would... open by saying, gosh, no matter how many times I do this, I always feel a little bit nervous, because vulnerability with authenticity does create connection. And the thing is, that is a kind of a volleyball opening for somebody to go, yeah, me too. When you have the yeah, me too moment, anything can spark from there. But I think if you're open and you allow yourself to be a little bit vulnerable, actually, isn't it going to be a red flag if they don't automatically try and put you at ease anyway? Yeah. So, and we talk a lot about red flags these days. So that would be my instant advice, is to disclose that you're feeling a little bit nervous. And then you've created some form of a connection. And if it doesn't come back, well, then yeah, maybe it's not for you.
Okay. And then I guess finally, so really though, you know, even some of the texts are saying they hate small talk, and maybe you should go in and, you know, just get rid of it all and be honest from the get-go. But like, it's the social glue in a way that holds strangers together, it seems that you're saying, and just prepare for it.
Yes, it seems to be a necessary preemptive state that we have to go through before we get it. I mean, think about it. If you go to the gym and if you started going, you know, 100 miles an hour on the treadmill and you started lifting the heaviest weights on a date, you're not going to get very far. You're going to grind to a halt. So it's best to sort of tiptoe your way in step by step, and you get good at reading the responses then. And if the connection is there, it's like the saying, if it's meant to be, it will be. So you will automatically notice the people you find connections with, and it's okay then to move on if it's not happening. If we know the rules of small talk, that nothing great is expected of us,
yeah,
and that we just ask some questions, we participate, we stay present, and we're genuine and as compassionate and open-hearted as we can be, that's as good as it gets, because the next steps are where the depth happens, yeah, and where the connections may grow, or you might even take it for a coffee or whatever later on. But these are the first steps to connection, and we are wired for connection. And most small talk is really what it is. It's small talk, and the opening line is to maybe something greater.
Yeah, well, fascinating. Lovely to talk to you. Rachel Gatto, who's a clinical hypnotherapist and self-leadership coach based in Galway. Should you be taking her out for food, bear in mind she doesn't eat until 1 o'clock. Rachel, lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, John.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.